I'm Ian Anderson-Gray, and this is the Smart ADHD Podcast. Now, if you're a smart creative, entrepreneur, or business owner navigating your life with ADHD, this is the podcast for you. Now, I'm no ADHD expert, but I'm eager to share my story on what I've learned by talking with experts, as well as digging into the personal ADHD stories of successful creatives and entrepreneurs. I was diagnosed at age 46, and it answered so many questions in my life. But of course, that was in many ways only the start of my journey. So let's learn together. Smart stories, smart strategies, smart ADHD. Hello and welcome to the Smart ADHD Podcast. I'm Ian Anderson-Gray, and in this episode, I'm going to be exploring some smart tools for ADHD. Whether you are a business owner, a creator, or an entrepreneur, these tools have helped me with lots of different things like focusing and organization, remembering things like having a second brain, all that kind of stuff. Now, these are some of the tools that I use, but there are so many, and we all have different circumstances, different things that we struggle with, different things that we excel at. And so I'd love to hear from you what you think are the best tools. What tools have you used? Pop them in the comments if you're watching on YouTube or wherever you are consuming this, whether you're listening. You can email me at ian@smartadhd.me as well. So there are loads of things that can help us and to help us manage our daily lives more efficiently. And the first section, the first segment, I suppose, of apps and tools are focus apps, apps that help you focus. Now, for me, I need to be in different places. If I get stuck in the same place, I get frustrated. It stops my creativity. So I love being in my studio where I currently am, but I also like to be somewhere else. I may go downstairs with my laptop, or I may go to, for example, coffee shop or something like that. Now, the problem with coffee shops is I find coffee shops work really well for me in that there are other people there and it helps me almost be more accountable. I know that sounds really weird because it's not like the people in the coffee shop are checking up on me, but I'm around other people. And so it helps me focus on what I'm doing and be more creative. Now, the problem is, though, with working somewhere like that is there are lots of distractions that are happening. There are noises, there's the coffee machine making, you know, gushing noises or whatever it does. And so I find listening to either white noise, brown noise, or some kind of music that helps me focus really makes a big difference. One of the best purchases that I've ever got are noise cancelling headphones. So I'm wearing some at the moment. These are the Bose Quiet Comforts headphones, and these are amazing. I also have my Apple, what are they called, AirPods. They are amazing. They've got the AirPods Pro 2. They're noise cancelling. So for me, noise cancelling headphones, they cut out a lot of the noise. But still, I find this app here called Brain FM makes a massive difference to helping me focus, because what this does is it, and apparently there's a lot of science that backs this up. They have different types of music. Now, I could use that in inverted commas in quote marks, because for me, playing music distracts me. If the music can draw me away because I'm starting to analyze the music. But this is kind of more sounds, ambient sounds. So we've got different categories here. We've got focus, relax. If you're into meditation, it's got that. And we've also got sleep, which helps you sleep. And I'll come back to that in a minute. But the focus ones, so for example, we've got here, this is more of a relaxing one. So if you're trying to relax, you can play that, which is really nice. So that's a relaxing sound. But focus ones, so let's have a look here. We've got, if we go to focus, got deep work, creative flow, study and read, and light work. So if I'm really getting into the zone, if I want to get into the zone, I'll choose deep work, and then it will pick a track for me. So this has got the breath of life. It's got a high neural effect there, which means that it's on the left. It kind of pans around, and that's particularly useful for people with ADHD, I find. That's electronic, but we can change that as well. If we prefer something else, this is called cognition. Now, I'm not going to play any much of these because I don't want to get into trouble for copyright or whatever, but Brain FM is fantastic. That helps you focus on those things. So let's try, for example, creative flow, or maybe let's try light work, actually. Oops. That's quite good. Or there is light work. So maybe you're checking your emails or something like that. Now, for me, this is really useful because it just helps me get in the zone, get the stuff done as well. And then at the end of that, if you want to then relax and just get your heart rate down, which is, I think, a really important thing for people with ADHD, because as I was speaking with Dr. Tamara Razir about this, actually, one of the things that often we struggle with is getting our nervous system back to relaxing mode. So I find things like having a bath, having a walk, breathing exercises really work. But Brain FM really is amazing when it comes to all of those things. It helps you focus. Now, it's not free. You have to pay a monthly fee. In all honesty, I got this ages ago. I just paid a one-off fee when they were doing a special deal years and years and years ago. But I use this all the time. So if you find music distracting, but you want to work it in somewhere like a coffee shop or somewhere where there's a lot of noise and a lot of things happening, then that really helps. It helps you focus on stuff. Now, that's not going to be for everybody. There are other ways of drowning out the sound. And for me, that is like a white noise option. So there's loads of different apps for this. You can also go to YouTube, Apple Music, whatever. You'll search for white noise. That will help you. Now, what white noise is, it basically plays all the frequencies of the spectrum from low to high. And so it kind of really drowns out background sounds. That's what white noise is. And it can really help you focus. Now, I personally find white noise a little bit too harsh. But this is an app called White Noise for iOS. There is options for Android as well. So this is what white noise sounds like. And I think you'll probably agree with me. This is quite abrasive, quite harsh. So yeah, that is white noise. The one I prefer, okay, well, before I get into the one I prefer, this is pink noise. So pink noise, what this does is it accentuates the higher frequencies. So this is, in my mind, even harsher. I wouldn't personally recommend this. That's weird. It actually seems like that's the lower frequency, but I believe pink noise should be the higher frequency. The one I like, I'm going to go back to gray noise in a minute, but the one I really like is brown noise. So this is slightly lower frequency, and I just find this a little bit more relaxing, or less abrasive, I should say. So that's got a much deeper sound. So gray noise, what gray noise does is it kind of gets rid of the middle frequency. So it's low and high. Yeah, I don't mind that. So anyway, these apps can really help you focus on what you're doing, particularly if you're wearing noise cancelling headphones. A lot of these apps also have other things like, you know, this is ocean waves crashing, which is very good if you're wanting to relax. Heavy rain pouring. I don't need that one because I live in Manchester. It's always raining here. Extreme rain pouring. So you've got all these different things here. Now, what's really interesting here is that Dr. Russell Barkley, who is kind of, he's co-wrote one of the big books that has influenced so many of us, Driven to Distraction. He recently did a YouTube video. This was a few months ago as I record this, and This was, does white, pink, brown noise improve attention in ADHD? And I definitely recommend, if you're interested in this, I definitely recommend watching it. It's only 8 minutes long. And he goes through some studies on why this might make a difference. And apparently there are meta-analysis studies on whether white noise or other types of noises work. But basically, what he was focusing on, does it actually help you focus in of itself? What I felt that video didn't talk about was, does it stop the distractions? And for me, I I'm going to get distracted if there are lots of things happening. There's too many. Quite often with ADHD, you get overwhelmed with too much stimulation happening. So what I find these apps do, the white noise, brown noise, all those kind of things, it just stops all of those distractions and helps you focus. I don't think it's the noise in of itself that helps me. For example, at the moment in my studio, if I was working on my own, I probably wouldn't put on white or brown noise on because it's already pretty quiet. I would use Brain FM though for that. So interesting. I'd love to know what you think about that. Now, what's interesting is if you have an iPhone, let me see if I can get this up. Yeah. So if you go to accessibility on this, so if I I think this is called Mission Control. When you scroll down, you have all the options. There is an option for background sounds, which I'm going to click on here. And then you've got options. So you've got balanced noise, bright noise, dark noise, ocean, rain, and stream. And so I can then just click on this. And that is an ocean sound. Balanced noise? So balanced noise, that's kind of like white noise, but that's balanced noise. I need to look into that because I actually quite like that sound. Background sound settings. So, you've got all of these different options here. You can even have it while media is playing. And I highly recommend that. That's built in to iOS. So definitely check that out. There are loads of other apps out there. There's My Noise is a good one. There's Dark Noise, but I find with Dark Noise, in order to get anything really, you have to pay. So definitely check that out. Okay, other things that you could do in terms of helping you focus. There's an app called Forest, which is an interesting one. So Forest, what this does, I've not used this for a while, but basically it helps you grow like a virtual forest. And the only way to grow the forest is by not using your phone. So I can plant this. Let's plant a tree. And it's saying I've got 120 minutes of non-screen time. So currently this is giving me a little seedling here. I can see some little green leaves. The problem is, if I give this up, if I have to toggle and go to another app like Facebook or Instagram or something, that plant dies. And this kind of does weird things with your head. Obviously, we know this isn't true. It's not an actual plant dies. But it really helps. So if I go away from that now, is this going to... let's see if I go... I might not have set this up properly. I haven't. But if I give up... there will be 4 withered trees in your forests, it's saying. So let's not do that. That would be awful. I don't want any withered trees. So there you go. Some things to think about there. Noise cancelling headphones, Forest app. There's other apps that you could check out. There's Rescue Time. There's Focus at Will. Loads of things like that. So next segment is more to do with, I suppose, relaxing. And particularly at the end of the day, I think this is important. You know, we're on the go all the time. I've mentioned Brain FM, I think really works. But things that are going to help our nervous systems calm down. And one of those ways, which I was a little bit dubious about, is breathing. And box breathing can really help. But I've found that this actually really does help me calm down. Exercise, of course, really helps as well. So going for a walk, going to the gym. But at the end of that, calming down, The app that I used to help me with this is called iBreathe. So if let me click on this, and there's different settings here. This is thing I like about iBreathe is it's a really simple app. So we can change the voice. Do we want a voice? Do we want haptic feedback? All of those kind of things. So if I click on breathe, I'm currently, yeah, I'm on intervals. I'm on 4, 7, and 8. So what it's going to do, it's going to, I think I breathe in for 4, hold for 7, breathe out for 8. There's box breathing. There's a few different ones here. So if I go to breathe now, click on the breathe, click on start, what it's going to do is, so it's going to start in 3 seconds.
Inhale.
So I'm inhaling for 8 cycles,
hold
for 8. And then after the 8, it's going to then tell me to exhale.
Exhale.
I mean, I can't really do this now while I'm recording the podcast, but hopefully this gives you the idea.
Inhale.
And this gives you 8 of these. And hold. I don't know about you, but this really, really helps. It really helps me relax at the end of this.
Exhale.
Okay, I'm not going to do any of that now. But iBreathe is a really cool app. It's just really simple. So there we go. Anyway, I'm sure there are other things that I should be looking at with the relaxing and the breathing side of things. I'd love to know from you what you think, because I'm going to be coming back to some of these in the future. Okay, the next segment is creating a second brain. Now, I don't know about you, but I tend to forget things very easily. I just struggle sometimes with short-term memory and even long-term memory. So, for example, I've been to events and I've forgotten where I first met a person. I decided quite a few years ago to make a note of all the people I met at each event. And I use a tool called Notion. Now, you don't have to use Notion. You could use whatever tool you like. But I particularly like Notion because it just helps me create a system that works for me. The problem with Notion, I think, for a lot of people, and Notion's free, by the way, and there are apps for iPhone, Android, and on desktop as well. The problem I find with, or a lot of people find with Notion, is that they overcomplicate it. And as soon as I said, okay, I'm just going to start simply and build it over time, I'm not going to focus on making it look beautiful or anything like that. If you watch any YouTube videos, they're all about how to make these things look beautiful. Well, that's all great, but it's not actually going to help you get stuff done. So I have, here is, so if you're listening to the podcast, you can watch this on the video as well. So if you're interested in that. So this is my travel database, and I'll explain what I've got here on the screen. I basically, if ever I go on a vacation holiday, well, I don't know, like a trip, a business trip, an event, that kind of thing, I put it in here. In fact, actually, we've just come back from Wales, a lovely family trip. I need to put this in here. I haven't done that yet. But I was at an event back in March called Uplift Live. And if I click on this, I've got a little image of this. It says Uplift Live 2024. If I click on that, I can see this was a business trip. This was in Birmingham, so I've listed the place, which is in a different database. I was staying at the Easy Hotel because I always think, like, why stay at a posh hotel if it's just me? This was a kind of nice, basic hotel. I ate at these restaurants, so there was an amazing Indian street food restaurant which I went to. So I can remember that, and I can click on that, and that will take me to a little bit more information about that. And it was the Uplift Live conference. Now, the really important thing for me is the list of people. And so I can see at this event, I met Tim Lewis, Lenka Kopovar, Jane Eggers, lots of people here. And the cool thing is, for example, if I click now on Richard Tupp, who I saw there, I can also then see the other events that I have seen him at. Now, I'm not entirely sure. I think this probably needs updating. So it's not perfect, but I can see here that I met him at New Media Europe 2015, New Media Europe 2016, Upreneur 2018. In fact, what I need to do there is put also put uplift live in there and add that in. But I'm pretty sure I also saw in other events some social media marketing one and things like that. I also know that the preferred method of communication with him is on Facebook Messenger, so I know that. But I can go back and I can remember all these things. I can remember my trip to Orlando where I hung out with my friends Jeff C and some other people there, and I can go all the way down. So this is amazing. The other thing that I've got is I've got a learning center. So in there, I've got all the books that I'm reading, podcasters that I'm listening to, and all that type of stuff. So I list all of that in there as well. So I've got my CRM, which is that, got a learning center, database, and travel. And I'm going to come back to Notion in one of the other sections later on. But there are lots of other tools that you could use. There's tools like Trello, there's Evernote, you know, just find a tool that works for you. Now, the Learning Center uses a service called Readwise. And Readwise is really cool if you have ADHD, because what this allows you to do, it synchronizes with your highlights on Kindle. So if you're highlighting you're reading your book or listening to your book, you know, you can highlight little segments of the book so you can remember later. But the problem with that is you then forget about it and you never look back at it. What Readwise does, it will take those from your Kindle and then post them into Notion or Evernote or whatever. And it helps you remember those things. So it's not just your Kindle, but it also if you use Instapaper or Pocket, it also synchronizes with certain podcast apps as well. So if there's a podcast that you're listening to and you're really interested in one little snippet in there, you can save that bit, and then that will be added to your learning center or your second brain in Notion. It's pretty amazing. So that really helps you recall information. And something that my daughter was learning at school is the whole idea of, now what I'm going to probably forget this, but it's I think it's called the learning curve. And it's all the thing of being able to learn it, wait a few days and then learn it again. And it's all about recalling it. And I need to talk to my kids about it, because they're learning loads of cool stuff about that at school. So definitely check that out. Okay, but now on to the next segment, which is decluttering your brain. And so what I find really helps here is I'm a verbal processor. So talking with other people about my day and what I've achieved really, really helps. But if there isn't another person there, or if I'm not wanting to bore my wife, then sometimes AI can help here. And with ChatGPT, ChatGPT has, for iPhone and Android, has this really cool thing. If I just put in chat, search for ChatGPT, I can start a voice conversation. So this is great if I'm walking about, and I just want to try and summarize my day. So I could say, please, can you summarize my day from what I'm about to tell you? And then I'll talk about my day. So today I went for a walk with Helen, and then I talked with my dad about business. And then I recorded my Smart ADHD podcast episode. And you could, you know, go through all of those things, and you can then get it to summarize that into a list. Now, there are more kind of fancy ways of doing this. There is Thomas Frank has created this amazing system where you can just record on your phone, and then it will summarize it and send it to Notion. There are loads of cool things, but just using the ChatGPT app on your phone to help summarize really works. You could also use your voice app, the voice recording app on your phone, and then just feed that into the likes of, there are lots of transcription softwares out there, and then just get to summarize it. And for me, that really helps. It helps me manage my thoughts and also my tasks as well. So you can use, you know, whether it's, you know, the voice assistants on your phone. I won't mention any of them, don't want to trigger them for you. But that really, really works very well, I think, for me at least. So yeah, decluttering your brain is always good. Now, how about you? Are you forgetting things? This is segment 5. Are you a person that kind of loses your keys or your watch or whatever? In this modern age, it is arguably more and more difficult for people with ADHD because the life is traveling so fast. There's so much data that we have to kind of deal with. But technology can really help here. And I use Apple AirTags to help me. Now, you don't have to use Apple AirTags. You could, if you're an Android user, you could use other tags that will help you. But this is for real world items. Like, I never really lose my iPhone because I can always find it using Find My, which is Apple's service for this. And it's the same with my Apple AirPods, my earphones. I never lose those because, again, I can track them and I can make them ping a sound, which is great. But what about real world items? So I have my wallet, I have my keys, I have my sunglasses, all with AirTags, so I can find them later. And that really, really helps me. It's absolutely brilliant. But you can't put AirTags on everything. And something that I got really frustrated with is the fact that, for example, cables, there's a specific cable that I need. It might be like an HDMI cable. And I'm pretty sure I have it, but I have no idea where it is. Well, what I'm about to show you you're going to think this is completely over the top. And yes, you're right. I went into a complete, a complete hyper-focus mode with this. But this has changed so much for me. And again, I'm using Notion for this, but this is my items database. So in here, I have a list of a lot of stuff that I own. Not everything. I've even got clothes in here. So I've got my super dry t-shirt here. I've even got things. I've got like the URL of, I've got the email that I ordered it with. I've got the receipt in here as well somewhere. But I've also got jack to phono adapters. Now the cool thing about this is, so I might need these particular adapters, but I don't know where they are, but I can see here that it's in my studio and it's in box 4. Which is really cool. There might be my Apple Pencil. Now, the only problem with this is I need to keep this up to date, and I don't always do that. But this really, really helps me keep on top of things. And like, if my son is looking for a particular adapter, I can look in the database and we can find it. So that has really made a massive difference. Other apps that you can use to help you remember things, Google Calendar. We've got a whole family on Google Calendar, so we all know what we're all doing. That really, really helps. I also use an app for my Mac and my iPhone called Fantastical, which is basically Google Calendar on steroids, and it works with other calendars as well. The other app that I use is Todoist. Todoist is really cool. It's basically a to-do app. I mean, that's all it is. I'm not going to show you my list of things because it's got some personal information in there. But and I have a virtual assistant who goes through my emails and then basically converts those into actionable items in my Todoist. And then I can mark them off as well. Now, the important thing here is, though, to make sure that they are actual tasks, because quite often we actually will mark a project down here. So for example, I need to buy a new camera, you know, for example, that I don't need to buy a new camera, but that's an example. Well, that's actually many, many tasks. So I'll need to do some research for the camera. I'll need to then go to Amazon. I might need to check I've got enough money in my business account to buy it. And there's all those different things. So you need to be careful about that. But yeah. Todoist really helps. Okay, the next segment, we're nearly at the end, is getting stuff done. Now, I don't use this next app because the idea of it makes me a little bit anxious, but I know some people who do use it, and it is called FocusMate. Now, what I said before, that one thing that I like to do is go to a cafe, and I feel I have a sense of accountability there because there are other people there. But FocusMate does... is it puts you together with some random person in the world who is wanting to get stuff done. So you book a slot in the day, and then FocusMate matches you with somebody else. You're on camera and microphone, and you talk to each other right at the start of, say, the hour. And you say, I want to get this done. I need to reply to 10 emails in this next hour. And the other person says, well, I need to write an article. I at least need to plan my article. You then basically get on with your stuff. You've got your video there. They can see you. I mean, you're not looking at each other, but you're getting on with the stuff. And at the end of that hour, you just basically then say to each other, so did you get your stuff done? And they'll say, yes, hopefully. And that's it. Now, I think this is a genius idea. The only thing that I feel about this is I feel a little bit anxious about being put together with some random person. It doesn't really work for me, but it might for you. So FocusMate is definitely something to check out. Now, I have two virtual assistants who help me in my business, and actually they sometimes will do exactly that. So we'll spend half an hour together. My VA will say, okay, you've got some emails to reply to. I'll say, can I just get on with that now? And okay, I know I'm paying her for that time, but the fact that I'm paying her and she's on the call and she's waiting for me to do it means that I do it and I will get the stuff done. Because for me, it's those little boring tasks that I will just put off and put off and put off. So that really helps. Timers as well. So the time timer, I don't know whether you're going to be able to see this, but if I go over there, I've got this time timer on the wall over there. So that works. So set myself like 10, 15 minutes or half an hour to get something done. Also, I find just working somewhere else again, that really helps. And also artificial deadlines. So like I do a lot of waiting around in car parks, waiting for my kids. You know, they've got different activities. And I find like if I've got 45 minutes in the car, that artificial time limit means that I just do stuff. I just get it done, which really helps. So that is it. Those are all the tools and gear and all that kind of stuff that I wanted to mention. That's what helps me. But I'd love to hear from you. What tools do you use? Were any of the ones that I mentioned new to you? Do you think you're going to use them? Let me know in the comments below or send me an email to ian@smartadhd.me. I'd love to hear from you. We'll be back with another episode soon. I've got some other experts planned to come onto the show as well. But until next time, I encourage you to get smart with your ADHD. And I'll see you soon. Toodaloo!